seats. It's good to be with you this morning. Feels like it's been gone a month. That's really strange. You know, I know we've said, I said that before, Brother Daniel. He feels that way when he's gone, but it's strange. You feel like when you've missed church one weekend that you've been gone for a month. So I think that's probably good. That means that that I really belong here with you, and so we thank the Lord for that. I wanted to let you know that Brother Claude sent his greetings to everyone. He was very serious, you know, when he got my attention before I left. He said, be sure and tell the church that I said hello. And so I want to give you that. You've been officially served notice that Brother Claude sent his greetings to you. So had a good time with them last weekend. It's always taxing on the body. But the Lord blessed us. And amazingly, on the way home Sunday night, when my wife and I would normally would be really tired, the Lord really touched us. And I think both of us were wide awake and well alert and wasn't really a problem. She might have got a little bit sleepy right at the last, but it was a good trip home safe. And so we really felt like the Lord had helped us with that. But, so just understand we had a really good service while we were gone. Yeah. And so we just thank the Lord for that. It's always nice to know that you got somebody that can cover for you when you're gone, and you don't have to worry about it. Don't have to worry about what they preach or, you know, anything like that. And so that's always really good too. I always, growing up, you know, wanting to be someday to find a wife, and I always worried, would I find a wife that would be faithful to me? And because so many of them aren't. And I tell you, once you know you've got a wife that is faithful, that takes a load off your shoulders. So it's good to have Brother Daniel as a fellow minister here to help with the gospel. So anyway, so let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Somebody's ready to start praying for some cooler weather.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like a lot of the time this week I just feel like I'm burning up, you know, just hot. But anyway, Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. So Jesus says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Let's just pray for a moment to him. Lord, as we come to this service this morning, we're just so thankful to be in the house of God. And Lord, we're so thankful to have a home church and a home church family, Lord, that we can sense your presence and your love this, in our hearts is moving back and forth among us. Lord, there's no place like home. There's no place like home church. And we just thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity once again to be in the house of God and to surrender ourselves to you. We ask God that you just receive our worship and our attentiveness this morning as we look to you, asking God that you as a great shepherd, this is your sheep, and Lord, we ask God that you would just bring to them what they have need of this day, something that would help them in their daily walk, Lord, we just ask that you would do this and use us as your children, as me, as a minister, that you would just use my speech and my faculties this morning just to get said what you want said and done. And so, Lord, we just give you the honor and praise and thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done, you are doing, and will do among this group. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Lord is good to us. This morning, I just want to, I'll title this, As Your Father in Heaven, which is in heaven. You know, here in this scripture, the theme that we see here, whenever we're reading that in Matthew chapter 5, he ends what we read there by saying, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And if you're like me, when you hear the word perfect and it's turned toward me, okay, when you're asking me how I measure up and the word perfect is there, I shy away from that, you know, because we know we as ourselves are like, if you want to look for perfection, don't look to me because I'm not that. But yet we're commanded in scriptures to be therefore perfect as our Father in heaven is a perfect. And so he explains, gives us examples there that what he's talking about there to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect is that, and you've heard me say this many different ways, but that is that I believe the Christian is equipped and God has called us and equipped us to be able to go above and beyond all the normal humanity traits. Everything that everybody else, and you say, well, you know, these people over here, when they get hit with a hard circumstance, they really go forth and they show themselves. And sometimes you'll see when there's hurricanes and things like that, you'll see the community all come out and they all pitch together and they all talk about how well the community pitched in and so forth. But what I understand with this is that from a scriptural standpoint, that no matter what did you find out in record humanity, when God has called Christians to be able to go above and beyond what everybody else does, to be able to express things that you just won't find elsewhere. So he gives the example there that you know, if you only salute those who salute you, or you only love those that love you, you're not doing anything different. That don't make you anything different than regular humanity.
Right.
See, you're just like everybody else. So you can see from here that what God is calling us is to live out some expressions that are above the traits of regular humanity, right? So you and I know we can't do that in ourselves. And so I believe that God would not have told us here in the scriptures, he wouldn't tell us to be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He wouldn't do that unless he had provided and knew that it was in his program that he would give you the ability to do that.
Right?
I wouldn't look at, say, this newborn, I don't see him here, but anyway, you wouldn't look at him and say, now I want you to ride a bicycle right now. He can't do it. So you would never call for something he couldn't do.
Right.
But if he's well equipped to do it, then you would call for him to do it and you expect him to do it.
Right?
And so if he's of age and should be able to do a certain thing and he's not doing it, then you're getting kind of aggravated at him because he's not doing what you know he's capable of. You see what I'm saying? So when we parents, we see our children not putting forth the effort, but we know they could, that's when we start getting aggravated at them, right? It's normal, right? So he's called for us here in the scriptures to be that notch higher than the rest of the humanity, rest of the world.
Right.
And but again, we can't do that unless he does it through us. I seen one time years ago, there was a woman that worked at a convenience store, and some people came through there one night and robbed the place, and some of them, they shot and killed them. And they fled. And they went off into some other state, I think it was Kansas or somewhere, and they got arrested for something else up there. And so they served some time for whatever they had done up there. And then when they got done with them there, they brought them back here to bring them to trial for the murder that they had created, that they had done here. And during that period of time, it was several years, but this stuck out so strongly to me that this was a, you know, 5-6 o'clock news in the evening story they were showing. That what the whole story was about was how that the father and mother of this woman that had been shot and killed, how that they came there to the trial and to this event as it was going on, and they came there and was asking for mercy for these people who had killed their daughter. They were real Christian people. They might not have known the message, but they had something down inside their heart. Well, they interviewed him. And the dad was crying. He said, they're people, they're humans too. You know, and he knew, so you can see there that he was well familiar with the fact that we as a human race were all undone. And that these people, though they had done what they did to their daughter, he knew that them people needed Christ. They needed God. They needed forgiveness. And so they were asking for mercy, you know, for it. And that may create a lot of mixed feelings among you, but what I'm trying to show you there is that when you have Christ in you, that he can elevate you to his characteristics where he can salute those who don't salute him. He can love those who don't love him. See? And so that's what he's talking about here, to be like your Father, which is heaven, to be perfect like him. And so I believe it gives us the ability to be this, because it's not in us to begin with in ourselves, but it would be only from his attributes. And that's the way he gives it to us, is by he places within us his attributes to be able to do that. So now, we remember in the message, Brother Random comes along and he says that the thoughts of God are his attributes, right? His genes. His genes is his thoughts. And he comes along and he says, now, a word is a thought expressed. So God had his genes, his attributes, okay, that he expressed, and when in that expression became word. And so the word is the thing that's coming forth. It becomes more like something visible. So the attribute's invisible, but yet it's got characteristics, and it has an intelligence about it, and there's a nature in that attribute, in that genetics. Okay? And so then God takes that and he speaks it, and that word comes forth, and when that word comes forth, it's the expression of the thought. So the genetics and all the intelligence and the person of what was laying there is now made manifest by the Word. Yes. Word coming forth, so the Word made flesh. And so you find out that when we God has given us this attribute to be able to be like our Father which is in heaven, he's given that to us, and that's an attribute in us, but just like any other attribute, it has to be made known. Right? So that has to be within us. And so I believe that, like I said, he wouldn't call us to do it if he didn't place it within us. But you know, he goes further than that, because if we all just went by what we felt in our own hearts, you know, we might have all kinds of problems. So, but what you find out is that he commands us in his word. And so what I'm trying to show you here is that you'll have this attribute within you that wants to grow into a manifestation, wants to express itself in a manifestation of what God really is. And you know it's right because you can look to the scriptures and you can see that the word proclaims the same. See, so we have this attribute that God has put within us that gives us as Christians the ability to be above and beyond all the rest of humanity. And we can see in the word that he calls us to do that.
Yeah.
So when you see that he tells you in his word, be ye therefore perfect, go far and above beyond, then you realize that you're looking at something in scriptures that we as Christians know that in our heart, that's what we cry out to be. We as Christians cry out to be higher, not to be, look down on everybody else, but we have a desire to be able to manifest the nature of God above and beyond anybody else, because we know that when Christ is lifted up, others are drawn. And so that's just natural for a Christian to want to express the attributes of God that's in them.
Right.
And so I believe that it's so when the thoughts were spoken and made expressed coming forth, then this attribute in us is just laying there, but it has a nature and a characteristic, and it's like our Heavenly Father, but we have to take that attribute, and that attribute has to be expressed.
Right.
So the gene inside, like say Brother Daniel, or in me, there's a genetics inside us that describes who we really are. And then whenever our flesh fleshes out what that gene is, then we look like what the gene said we should look like, and we act like the way the gene says we should act like, right? That's the way it should work. And so when he says, be like your Father, what he's saying there is that you've got life within you that I've given you to manifest this, and the Word's telling you this is what you should do. And all he's saying is just come forth and be the expression of the God that's in you. That's all he's saying. Real simple. Just be Be like Christ. Be like God. We believe that. So, you know, we find out that as children, we already have that in us, and the Word tells us to be that. And so what is it? It's family traits. That's all it is family traits, to be like our Father, which is in heaven. As Christians, we found out, you know, I don't know that I ever thought about it too much, but as giving my heart to the Lord, I found out that He is my Father, Heavenly Father. My God, God is my Father. And I remember the first thing that happened to me when I gave my heart to the Lord, I remember immediately, not months later, immediately after surrendering my heart to the Lord, I became concerned about lost souls. I could stand in the grocery store or in the store, and my spirit was grieved by what I saw, the lost humanity. How many is familiar with that? And so if you don't have that now, say, God, give that back to me, see? But what was that? Immediately, that gene that was laying there by predestination, now quickened by a birth, now begins to express itself, and now you're hearing from it. It begins to speak to you, and now you begin to act differently based upon that that's calling from within. And so we found out, you know, that's the nature of our Father that when that happens. And so that's His traits coming forth. We learn that He is our Father, then that's exactly what happens. The first thing that happens to me, as far as I'm concerned, whenever to find out that God is my God, I want to know about Him. I want to start thinking, and I do, it just comes natural. Like I said, you're constantly wanting to know, am I pleasing Him? You're constantly wanting to know, am I in a way that is like what He would approve of or whatever? And so, to me, that's just natural for a Christian to be that way. As Christians, we want to please our Father. And when you can look in your own life and you can see something crying out in your own heart that agrees with the Word of God, then this is a reassurance to you that you belong to Him. There's a scripture, I think Sister had it up there, that says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because the Spirit which He has given us, because He has given of His Spirit." And so when you look at that, you realize if I said, "Where's Brother Daniel at?" Well, I'll tell you where he's at. It's where His Spirit is, right? And so when you want to find out where God is, you'll find God places His Spirit in His own family. It's in Him. And so you'll find that the case. And so you want to look at yourself and you want to see that God and His Word is being expressed in you. And like I said, I believe as a Christian, we do see that. It's natural for us to have the desire for those things, to be like our Father. As most of you probably know, I think most of you know, recently just being able to come in contact with my own earthly dad. And, you know, the scripture says, don't call any man on earth your father. But I understand the context of that, you know, to apply attributes of God to a man. You don't want to do that. So, but I found my own earthly dad recently and began to talk to him this last week. And, you know, I kind of been watching this, and I noticed that whenever I began to talk about this and people talking to different people, the first thing they begin to do when they find this out is they go to pictures. And they start looking at the pictures of my dad, and they start looking at pictures of me. And the first thing they're looking for is outward traits do I look like him? Right. It's just natural, and we all do that. And so you know, because in reality, you know, a child should have some sort of resemblance of his father, and it varies in different things like that. But that's the first thing that happens whenever, and even me, first thing for me, just to look, I would look and say, you know, do I look like him? What am I doing? I'm examining myself because it's important to me to know where I come from, why I'm here, and where I'm going. Right? And so it's important to me because I want to make that connection. I want to know who my father is, right? I want to know because once I know who he is, I have a better understanding of what I am to be right now, and it also helps me know where I'm going. And so that's the first thing that happens, you know, that you start looking for the outward things and say, well, do I look like him? You know, and what's the traits? Does he have big ears like me, or does he have whatever? And so that's natural, you know, and everybody does that. That you, But you know that you can go just a little bit deeper, a little bit closer. And the next thing is that you start saying, well, you know, what kind of things does he like? Right? What kind of things does he like? And that's, for me, I start comparing things like that. Now, everybody else might have went, oh, yeah, it looks like him. Okay. But me, I start going deeper. Because I want to know what he likes and what he don't like. I want to know, you know, because that's even a more deeper level. On all of these things, speak of knowing your heritage, knowing where you come from. Yeah. And so I was, you know, that's the kind of things that you look at. So I find out that in talking to him this week, I said, you know, I was raised eating beans and potatoes and beans, taters and cornbread. And he said, so was I. And he said, we still have it all the time around here, you know. And I'm thinking, well, that sounds like home to me, you know. Sounds just like what I want, you know. But you begin to look and see those things, and all this is telling you that we want to be like our Father which is in heaven. And so when people look at us, they ought to be able to see him,
yeah.
Right? So when he expresses a certain thing, that ought to be visible in our lives. And so you find out that, what does he like? Well, that's what I like. What does he not like? Well, that's what I don't like. Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Right.
And so we find out that there's a nature within us that's different than what we used to have before a new birth. But now we got a nature in us that cries out for righteousness, that sighs and cries for the sins and abominations done in the city. Right? You find out that there's something in there that's grieved for those who are lost in sin doing the same thing you used to do. So you see now there's a new life, there's a new connection there. You realize now you belong to your Heavenly Father because you can see nature in you and attributes coming out of you just like him.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, now I'm saying this because from a spiritual standpoint, we know that everything needs to point back to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so even our natural experiences, and my natural experience of coming in contact with my dad, everything there points back to Jesus Christ, see? And I have found out that it is important to me that I want to know where I come from, but I'm looking at this from a spiritual standpoint, and I want to know that I have God's nature coming out of me and expressing itself through me.
Right.
And so that's natural. So I've seen here in the scriptures where he even tells us, be perfect like our Father which is in heaven is perfect. So it's natural to look for outward things, but looking for things to see how much we agree in. And so, you know, if you're truly like your Father, you'll leave a legacy like your Father. If my earthly dad likes beans, potatoes, and cornbread, everybody's going to know it because that's what they see him eat. Well, I'll be the same way. You know, if he likes to fish, if he likes to hunt, so will I, see? So if I'm truly like him, then the pathway that I leave behind me in my life is going to have the same effect that his did. So if our Heavenly Father, like I read the other day, we're equal with Jesus Christ as the bride of Christ. We have inherited everything that he has. And Brother Branham said, well, what would he do if he was here? He'd do the same thing he was then. He'd be casting out devils. He'd be praying for the sick. He'd be doing everything about the Father's will. Then that's what we do because that's what we have inheritance to. As the bride of Christ, we have that. And we can pray for the sick and raise the dead and all those things because we're, you know. And that's the same. If he is our Father, if his purpose here in life was just to do the Father's will, was to go out and seek that and say that which was lost, then that's what we would be doing.
Right.
See? We would follow in the same footsteps that he is and the legacy he left behind, we would do. So one man, Jesus Christ, his life surrendered. Look what it did. It changed the entire earth and all eternity, right? Changed that. Look at Brother Branham's life. Just one man, what he surrendered to God. Look how many lives that have been touched,
amen.
Right? Just as ministers, you know, Brother Daniel and myself and doing missionary work. There's people's lives in other countries that are changed, right? Just because of our surrender. What? Because we endeavor to obey that call which is in our heart that matches the word, and we go out and we're expressing the same life that Jesus Christ had. We're expressing those things and lives are changed. So we're leaving a legacy behind us similar to our Heavenly Father. Right? And this is what you want. When you leave here from this earth, you want everybody to say that person made Christ more alive to me. That's what you want. And so if you do that, that just means you're simply living exactly what you are. You're part of that family trait expressing itself in you to be like your father, leaving that legacy behind. So what he likes, we like. What we don't, what he don't like, we don't like. So if he says he hates discord among brother, then we hate it. Right? See, if he says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, now the correct form to understand is what Brother Branham come along and told us about that, that the nature that was in Jacob, that he had to have that birthright, and no matter what he had to do to get it, he's going to do it, right? Kind of like Tamar, whatever she's got to do to get it, yeah. Right? So Jacob was like that, but Esau didn't really care about the birthright, see? So when we realize and understand that, then we do not have respect for the idea that people don't care about what God has given to them as an inheritance, what his word that is there and that he's given to them that can prosper their lives, and they don't really care about it. Yeah. We don't like that because he doesn't. But when we see somebody that's willing to seek God and chase after God and do whatever they can to get that promise of God in their lives, we have great respect for that. I don't care what they look like. If you see that they're hungering and thirsting after God, you like that, see? And so, you know, that's because we're like what our Father likes. It's not like, well, I'm going to decide today that I'm not going to like what this person is doing. No, everything goes back to the Word and the righteousness of God's kingdom that we want to conform to and we want to promote. So you realize it makes you an enemy when you are like that, but that's just the way it is. So when we say, it says be perfect as our Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. You know, the perfection, the word perfection, we've talked about this, is complete or not lacking, you know. And so when we look at God, we know that we can attribute to him perfection. Totally complete, lacking nothing, no sin, no unrighteousness in him. He's the only one that holds that position, right? Just, you know. And so, but then he imputes that to us through the cross. But he's the only one that has that position. So, you know, as I said a little while ago, you know, a baby's born and a baby's born perfect. Yeah. But now if the measuring tool was, can they drive a farm truck? Well, that baby's not perfect then because he can't drive the farm truck. But if you're checking him to see if he's a baby, And he's really a baby. He comes in the world totally in need of someone to watch over him. Then he's perfect. See what I'm saying? So perfection has to do with the, you know, what the requirement is. Well, the requirements of the kingdom of heaven was to be perfect in all things, yeah. Right? But our requirement isn't necessarily to be like that because we're not. Our requirement is to fit the category of whatever God is calling for in this day. And so I was saying the other day how that, you know, he had seven church ages and Christ is a full measure, but he has to bring the church all the way up until they finally get to that place of perfection, which just simply means the level at which God wants us in our character in this hour. That's all it means. And he's the one to declare that. And so God has called us to perfection, but he's not calling us to a place this side of rapture where we'll never make a mistake because we'll know we'll always make mistakes as long as we're in the flesh. Amen. But in our revelation of the Word and what we know to be true, he's bringing us to that place when you finally, the revelation measures up to the full stature of Christ, then now he can take something there. He's got something he can take and he can go with it. See, that's why in the Old Testament you couldn't build anything off of rebellious children. That's why they would just stone them. Because you can't go anywhere with it. When people get to a certain place, when they degrade so much, it finally gets to the place where God says, I can't do nothing with it. I just got to get rid of them and go somewhere else, start over or something like that. And you see that there was people, nations, that got so corrupted that he couldn't go with them anywhere. And when you have a spirit of rebellion, well, how can you ever teach and bring forward in knowledge and in revelation a rebellious spirit? You can't. And as long as that spirit's there, you can't do anything with it, see?
Right.
And so that's how it is. When we are to be like our Father which is in heaven, we'll never be that if we're always resisting His Word. We'll never be that way. And so we'll always, like I said a while ago, if we're constantly resisting Father's will, then we don't have His favor. Because we're just not measuring up. Because He knows this is my offspring and you can be better than this. And I've given you the tools to be this and you're just not applying yourself. Then you're at odds with your Father.
Yeah.
Just simply because you're not coming forward with what He knows you're able to do.
Right.
And a man would be insane if he had a child and that child was mentally challenged. That man would be ignorant to be calling for that child to do something he knows he can't. But I'll tell you what, if that child can do it and he don't do it, then he's ignorant too.
Right.
See? So it's only natural that a parent be calling for that child to come forth and manifest what he knows is laying there. And God is doing the same thing. So now here we are at this end time when we're a people where He's bringing us to this place where in our revelation, He knows you can do it. And He's asking you, saying, come on, come forward, go ahead and do it. I've given it to you. I've shown you in my word. I've even demonstrated it to you in an end time ministry. Now come on. Step on up. And that's what He's doing.
Yeah.
So it's not a place for weaklings, that's for sure. But he's calling us to that place of perfection. He's actually calling us to be complete with nothing lacking in our revelation in this hour. And all that simply means, I think I mentioned this the other day, you know, that you're an invincible army. An army that cannot be defeated. Okay? Well, I mean, he's been knocked down, but you got back up.
Right.
You got knocked down again, but you got back up.
Yeah.
As long as you keep getting back up and keep fighting, you're invincible.
Yeah.
It's when he takes you down and you don't get back up.
Yeah.
See? So it doesn't say it's not a people that's never going to fall, never going to make, that's not what he's talking about. It's a people who every time they do fall, they get back up and get back in the fight. Mm-hmm. You see? And so we just keep pushing, keep pressing on, and coming to that place where now in our revelation, we know enough about God now to realize that if I do make a mistake, it has nothing to do whether or not I'm a child of God or not. Right? Has nothing to do with it. Well, you know, other churches in the rest of the world don't really understand that. It's been given a revelation that's given to us to understand that we're God's children and we always have been. And all we're doing is growing to that place where He's going to adopt you. Where He's going to put you in power. When we say adoption, you realize Bible adoption is not what adoption is that we know of in the world today. So, what your Father can do, you can do. Amen. And the closer we get to that time for adoption, where He places us in the power, the more our revelation matches His Word. That's all it is. And every time that happens, we begin to express a little bit more of that attribute. We begin to look more like our Heavenly Father. So one of the things that Jesus did while He was here, He knew that this world was not His home. Right?
Right.
He came from there, He came here, and He's going to go back.
Yeah.
And He was here knowing that while He was here, His purpose was just to go out and seek those which were lost. That His whole purpose was here was to go out there and get to that family of God that He might take them all back to Him to the other dimension when this is all over with.
Right.
That's all. That's His whole purpose. And so while He was here, knowing that His purpose was just to go out and that this world was not His home, then when He was given opportunity to prosper in this life in ways that would pull away from His purpose for being here, He rejected it. Right? There's nothing wrong with being prosperous in this life. But if it ever gets in the way of your purpose of being here one little bit, you better walk away from the blessings of this world and stick true to the purpose of what you're here for.
Yeah.
So Jesus knew that He wasn't, you know, and so when Satan comes along and he says, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, said, I'll give it to you. You know what Brother Graham said? They were here. He could have done it.
Yeah.
Right? But Jesus knew by revelation that He'd inherit it anyway.
Right.
See, I don't need a big high-rise corporate job.
Right.
See, some people ask me, wonder, well, you think you'll ever try to move up? No. Have no desire to move up in the company I'm in. Have no desire. Because I know to take one more step higher than I am right now become a big problem with my walk. It would. So I have no desire to do it, see? And so that's what I'm talking about. So Satan will make sure that in your life you're given opportunities. You'll be given an opportunity for a job that will get you a lot more money, but it'll take you out of church. You walk away from it. Because you know that this world is not your home, and what you are to have here, as long as it doesn't get in the way of your calling, God will see to it that you get it. But outside of that, if something comes along and you know it's going to be a problem when you walk, then you get rid of it like Jesus did. You say, no, that's all right. Don't tempt the Lord your God, you know, and those sorts of things. So Jesus knew that, and so we are to be the same way.
Yeah.
We're to mimic our Father, be just like Him. And you know, you realize it. I know Brother Daniel, I think he's had jobs, and I think Brother Tim maybe has even had some job offers that he just, you know, he knew it would be too much, and same thing. And so, you know, once a person finds out the way that this works in your walk with God and the way things come and so forth, you choose pathways where you have peace in your life. You may not have a wallet thick as you'd like, but you got peace in your heart,
right?
And in that, you know, a man that's, I don't want to work or be fellowshipping around a man that's got a wallet that thick, but I can't fellowship with him.
Right.
I'd rather him just be broke and be able to fellowship around the kingdom of heaven than to be something different.
Right.
And so we want to follow after that same thing, that God was like that. He realized he had to say no to things that was going to be, that was not part of the will of God, and we do the same thing. So that's just an attribute that comes out from our Heavenly Father in us. So Jesus chose to keep the Father's will. So, you know, we have to do the same. We have to deny the world. And, you know, there's so many varying degrees, but we have to do that. And each one of us have this, our own levels. If we turn to James chapter 4, verse 4. We have to remember this. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth the envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you see, to be friendship with the world, to go right along with everything the world says, and that they feel comfortable with you to be, because that's what friends are. You're comfortable around each other, right? So if you're going to be friends with the world, that means the world's comfortable with you. That means there's nothing about your life that brings conviction to them.
Right.
Nothing about your life brings condemnation to them. And if you live a life where the world is okay with you, you know, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Then you're living a life that's enmity with God, that's against God. Because a person, the scripture says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we realize as long as we stay true to our calling and a reason why we're here, we live by that attribute that's in our heart, we're going to be separating ourselves from unrighteous things. We're not going to be marrying up with things of the world and making the world like us. We're not going to do that. See? My boss, he may listen to this, I don't know, but, you know, I catch him all the time. He exaggerates things, and he actually flat out lies sometimes about what we can do as a laboratory. I'm not going to do that. When I take customers around and show us the facility, I'm not going to lie to them and tell them we can do something we can.
Right.
You see people do that, see? And so, you know, we want those traits of our Father living in us, being like we should be, and not compromising, because if we compromise, we become an enemy to God.
Right.
But if you please God, you're an enemy to the world. No doubt about it.
Okay.
See? So that's back to what I said a while ago. When we please our Heavenly Father, right? When you sit down, it's to know His voice. To know His voice and to hear that satisfaction in His voice that He's proud of you as His child is worth more than you could ever even comprehend. I, you know, me as And so I'm saying this because I've been thrilled this week, and I type everything over to the spiritual. I've been thrilled to talk to my dad and to listen to him and talk to him and hear the joy in his heart and those kinds of things. And I think, you know, do I sit down and I read the word and I hear his voice and I hear his word saying, "That's my son. I'm happy with you. You're just like me. You're standing for the things that are right." In other words, do you hear the word condemning you? Or do you hear the word amen in what you live?
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It matters. These things are important. We've got in a generation nowadays where young people, they don't care about their parents, seems like. They've lost the respect of what it means to have a father and a mother that they can look to, that God processed them into the world through this channel, and they just don't know how to respect it, don't know what consists of it, because your life can be so blessed by receiving through that channel, through parents. See, but children nowadays, and the scripture said it'd be that way. If you read Isaiah chapter 3, you'll find out. The scripture said that this day would come, and the ancient, the people that would have the wisdom, they just cast them to the side, and that the children become their oppressors and be rulers over them and so forth. That's the hour that we come. But it doesn't have to be that way in a church. It doesn't have to be that way, and it won't be that way in a good Christian home. But see, that's what happens when they begin to cast away the counsel of the ancient, cast away the wigged one, the one who appeared over sunset, who shown that he was the highest authority in the land, to cast away his counsel and go your own way. And that's what happened. You remember that's what Solomon's son did, cast away the counsel of the men that had been with his dad and took the counsel of the young people, and it cost him. See, and it's the same today. So we don't want to get away from Father's will.
Right.
We want to be right in the channel of his will, and it's a blessing. Like I said a while ago, if you're disobedient, then now he's going to start getting aggravated at you because you're not walking in the way that he knows he's called you to do and knows that you can do, and that you're representing something that's not part of the family. So we thank the Lord for having enough love to correct us, as he said when he come down in this last day, Laodicea. And that was a message of correction. That's all there is to it. Just a message of correction. And even said so, that as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke, because you know that if he didn't love you, he wouldn't.
That's right.
Right? So I wish we could all understand that. That sometimes, you know, if the preacher's preaching it and steps on your toes, it's because God loves you.
Right.
Right? And so same way with your parents, you young people, when your parents get after you, it's because they love you. Absolutely. Because if they didn't, they just let it go.
Right.
Just let it go. Because you know what? My parents, my stepdad, and he was a good man. And the times that he whipped me, had to whip me, and he'd say to me, "This hurts me the more than it does you." And I did, you know, as a child, I just thought that was ignorant. But as a parent, you understand, don't you? You don't want to be at odds against your children. You don't want them to be at odds with you. But you've got a call on your life to be that parent figure. You've got to be like God to them. And you've got to express to them the truth. And that's what our Heavenly Father does. He doesn't deviate one bit. And if we walk away from his instruction, our life becomes hell because of it.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. See? So we want to stay true to the word, because that's the channel of life that brought us here. And that's the channel that'll show us where we come from, how to be here and what we're here for, and then where we're going after we're done with. It's right here from the instruction that comes from Heavenly Father. And in the natural, they could be the same. But the revelation's been lost with young people nowadays. They don't know what it's like. And I'm saying that because you've heard this phrase that you don't know what you got until you lose it. Something like that. I figured exactly how it said. But you have something good and you don't know just how good it is. And then one day you lose it. And after you lose it, then you realize what you've lost.
Right.
Well, from a physical standpoint, from an earthly dad, I lost him in the first place. But now I get to find him. So the thing that I knew that was missing, now I get to have.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
And if people, if you don't know just how blessed it is to have a message that will speak Father's word to us, brother, sister, you let it go away and him not speak to you,
right,
and deal with your heart. Right. And you'll find out real quick, you want Father's voice in your life.
Yeah.
But Satan comes along and tricks people, and they get to thinking they don't want it, don't need it. There's people we know that has walked away, and I'm not talking about people that left and believe the sign. I know of a person that has left this message that we know that have had good fellowship with, and they've walked away from it. And it's just, and when you do, when people walk away, when you've walked close and high level of truth, when you get away from that, Satan will take you and he will make more of a disgrace out of you because you have walked. And he'll take you there quicker.
Right.
See? It's the people who have been there that when he takes them, and he'll just mop the floor with you and say, I'm going to make an extra example out of this person because they knew truth. And that's what the Bible says, that if you know more, more is required.
Yep.
Right? And so we understand that's the way it works. This is all just life lessons that we're talking about. But it's all, everything comes all the way back to this one thing, that this is Father's instructions, and it's the him calling for the attributes of his own life to come out and be expressed in our lives. To be able to know him and hear his voice, hear the approval in his voice that he's happy, like Jesus standing there and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Think about that. How many would like to hear God say that about you?
Yeah.
Right? Now, a lot of times we'll say, enter in, my faithful servant. You hear him talk about that parable. That's not us. That's the people coming up at the end of the resurrection, see? That's talking about those who are good to the bride.
Right?
Right? We're not servants, see? He said to Israel's servants, we're not servants. We're the bride. We don't want to put ourselves in that place. So I don't want to hear him say, enter in, thou faithful servant. I want him to say, this is my son. This is my beloved son. I'm pleased. That's what we want, see? Amen. We want him to say that. And the only way you can do that is to take his instructions and live by his instructions. And what you have here is you have a legacy. Live by him, that you carry on that same legacy. And the same influence and the same accomplishments that he could do, you do, and the same effect that he had on the world, you have on the world. That's why it's so important that we don't live our will, but we live his will. We live his way, and it will make the same effect on the world that he did. Amen. So I'm glad to know that here in this hour that he come along and had enough love for this people and this level to see an angel come along and he would correct us and say, straighten up. And that shows us that he loves us. Amen. You appreciate him?
Amen.
You know, I've said to many people many times in talking about the message to the Laodicean age, and I'd say, look, because a lot of people are like, the churches, they don't like William Branham. They don't like this, you know, don't like that. And I said, well, read it. Read it. What it says there, you're blind, you're miserable, poor, wretched, naked, you don't know it. I said, does that sound like a good message that people's going to like? Not at all. But it was needful. It was correction that needed to be there.
Right.
And thank God, God had some people that actually was going to surrender to that correction and let it change their lives. Amen. And I believe that we are among that group of people. I was reading the other day, a church, this is a pet peeve of mine, but I was reading this church's, it wasn't their bylaws, but it was their beliefs and, you know, type of thing. And I'm reading down through there what they believe, this, you know. And it come to a statement in there, and it was something along like this, that we believe or preach the relevant Word of God. I forget how I said it, but it was what it was saying was the portion of the Bible that we feel to be relevant, that's what we stand for.
Right.
That's what they were saying. I'm sorry. I disagree with them. It's all relevant.
Yeah.
even if there's portion of this Bible right here that you know did not carry over into the New Testament, right? Even if it didn't carry over to the New Testament and you're not commanded to observe it, it's still relevant because it's a foundation to what you have now. Because it makes us to understand when Jesus Christ had to be born of a virgin birth, if you go back and catch the revelation of what serpent seed is, that's a foundation to know why it had to be. It makes it all even better. And so when you have a house that you build, you better hope there's a good foundation underneath it. That's relevant too, even if you don't see it. See what I'm saying? Most of you never walked directly on a footing to your house, but how important is the footing? Brother, how important is it? But you probably never stepped on it one time. See? But it's one of the most important things that you can have in a house is to have a good foundation. And that's why this is our eagle. It's got two eagle's wings. We fly with the Old Testament and the New Testament. We can fly straight. We don't go in circles. We fly straight and know what we're talking about. So to me, it's all relevant, right? So we're going to make sure that we keep it relevant in our lives, both from the pulpit and in our homes, and always instill our people and our children and our friends and our family and so forth that this is it. This is true. This is right. Nothing else is. You know, we don't have to be dogmatic, but just, you know, if we live truth, if we're standing here and we tell something to somebody that we know is going to be hard for them to receive because they've been taught wrong, but if you could live something right alongside of what you're saying, you'll catch their attention. You will help overcome that false thing that they've been taught if you'll just live a life that matches right alongside the truth that you're trying to tell them. And that's really important. Because if we don't do that, see, of course, the life behind the name that makes the difference. Amen? That's definitely true. So we thank the Lord and let the musicians come. Let you out early today. I think I said it, and I forget where it was. Oh, I guess it was at the anniversary thing we had the other day, and I told one brother, Matthew's dad, I said, you know why long-winded preachers are long-winded is because that's one place where they can stand there and they can express what they have on their hearts. Amen. So don't mean to be. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to him. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day and for the chance to be together with your people and to sit and just think upon the things that come from your word. The encouragement that you give us, Lord, just to follow after that which is true and not compromising. And I'm asking God that you would help us in every way. And Lord, for me, as I am embarking on a different portion of the journey of my life, Lord, I want to be a help and an inspiration. And I don't want to compromise in any place and from your word as I go forward. And I'm asking God that you'd help me, and asking the saints, Lord, that they would pray for me, Lord, because this revelation of life in our midst is more important than anything in this world. And Lord, we know that testings and tryings come to each one of us, and so I'm asking God that this word would lodge even deeper down in our hearts, the roots would just dig that much deeper, that when all the winds of doctrine, all the things try to come our way and push us over, we ask God that there would be strength there to hold us in those hours of temptation. And I'm asking, Lord, that would be the blessing upon all your children, Lord, of everyone in this congregation, Lord, that this enemy comes their way and tries to steal things from them, Lord, that he would find out that there's a rooted, grounded word in their lives that they hold on to. We love you, Lord, and I thank you for this congregation and this people. I ask for your blessings upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's all stand. Let's sing a song or two.
I'm
I just wanted to remind them. We've got one new person among us, I think, since we had voting last time. Last year, every year, once a year, we have an annual business meeting. And there are certain offices in the church that have to be re-voted on every so often. Treasurer is one of those that's re-voted on every year. And trustees are cycled through one per year. Be a voter in this assembly, you have to support the church with tithes and offerings and attendance. And that attendance is, I think, at least two-thirds, I believe, two-thirds of the time that you would have to be among us. And so, and the reason for that is if somebody doesn't care enough about a church to support it with their attendance, they don't have business voting. And if they don't care about a church enough to support it with their tithes and offerings, they don't need to vote. Right? So that's the bylaw rules, but I know Brother Jordan is new among us, and I want him to know what those qualifications are to, as a person to be among us in service with us to support the church with tithes and offerings. That gives him the right to vote if he's been here for 6 months, and that's also what it says too. And if you really have a question about that, we can look that up. But I want everybody to just feel part of among us, and if this is your home church and you desire to be part of us right here and you support it in that way, definitely want you to have a say in what goes on around here in the voting. So God bless you. We'll sing this song and you can be dismissed. If anybody has need prayer, we'll certainly pray with you.